Good morning.
Well, let's pray and then you tell Roger, Tessa.
Wait, sure.
Okay.
To give her a couple minutes.
Okay, who wants to pray today? I haven't heard Buddy for a long time.
Now, Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask that you open our ears and our hearts to receive your word and to discuss your word this morning, Father. We thank you for our attendance here today, for the people we share your word with today, Father.
Thank you.
May both services glorify and praise your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion, Bible study, whatever that is, at Wings Christian Fellowship. I think this morning we're going to start by going right back to Matthew chapter 12. As soon as I put my glasses on. Sorry. That is a must.
Did we ever get into it? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
We didn't get into it because we went back and did Isaiah.
Yeah, but we got as far as we were talking in Matthew about it'll fulfill the words of Matthew, of Isaiah, that he would not speak a word. I think we got as far as Matthew, like 12:22. Or if you want to go back, that would be good too. It's been a while. Does anybody have anything they want to bring out of the Isaiah 42 before we go back? Here it is. Here's where we got. Let's start at Matthew 12:17, only this time we won't leave and go down to Isaiah for a month. 12:17. Whose turn is it to read?
Matthew chapter 12, verse
18.
Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in and with whom my soul is well pleased and has found its delight, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim and show forth justice to the nations. He will not strive or wrangle or cry out loudly, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smothering, dimly burning whip he will not quench, till he brings justice and a just cause to victory. And in on his name will the Gentiles, the people outside of Israel, set their hopes. Then a blind and dumb man under the power of a demon was brought to Jesus, and he cured him. So that the blind and the dumb man both spoke and saw. And all the crowds of people were stunned with bewildered, wonder, and said, "This cannot be the son of David, can it?" But the Pharisees, hearing it, said, "This man drives out demons only by and with the help of Beelzebub, the prince of demons." How far do you want me to read?
Go down to 28.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing their thoughts.
Maybe even a little more, I don't know.
And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Any kingdom that is divided against itself, being brought to desolation and laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself, will last or continue to stand. And if Satan drives out Satan, he has become divided against himself." And this unifying. How then will his kingdom last or continue to stand? And if I drive out the demons by help of Beelzebub, by whose help do your sons drive them out? For this reason they shall be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you before you expected it. Any further?
Yeah, stop right there.
Okay.
Okay? After reading the Isaiah, all that Isaiah that we went through, it was interesting that he talked about my servant and those who were, who could see but did not see, and people who could hear but did not hear. And then when he comes, when we come back here, and that's where the, he was talking about that it might be fulfilled. And then it says that he came to one possessed of a devil, and he was blind and he could not hear, which I thought was kind of interesting. It kind of pulls it all together. But going back up, I just love what it says here. I think this is around 19 and 20, is an interesting way to tell us the plan, how by the fruit we shall know them. And this is the fruit that by which you will hear the elect. This is the fruit by which you will recognize the elect, because he said, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, that was the Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. but it's also a plan by which you'll know the fruits of those who are the sons of God, who are being called into being called children of God. And it says, he shall not strive nor cry. He won't fight and he won't bawl. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. I like that. He's not going to be one of those big loudmouth people yelling and screaming in the streets, screaming at people in their cars, pulling out guns. And oh, you know, this is not a child of God. You know what I mean? He will be in control. The Spirit of God will be in control of his soul. And he will walk by the Spirit. And then this I love. A bruised reed he shall not break. When somebody's down and out, the compassion and the love that that person will show, he will not add anything to that poor bruised fellow. He will, it says, and smoking flax shall he not quench. If there's just one little spark of fire of faith in a guy, even if he's not understanding the word of God the exact same way that we are, don't you put out that little smoking
ember.
Just do what you can. Just give it a little. Blow a little of that Spirit of God right on it. That just flame up, and he shall not quench it until he sends forth judgment unto victory. And that word judgment also means justice. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. Well, I think that's very true of the Lord and of the chosen one of God and of his only begotten Son. But it's also in part, I think it's in part, because he says greater works will you do. When we come to the nature and the maturity and the stature of Jesus Christ, these things we're going to do. It'll be our first nature will be to be like this, rather than strive or cry out or any of that stuff. Anybody want to jump in there? That's just what that kind of showed me.
Well, I'll say something if nobody else is going to say anything. Verse 21, where he says, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You know, Jesus came in the name of the Father. Jesus, the real Hebrew name for Jesus, which the Greek for the name that would have been in Hebrew is Jesus, which means Savior. But in Hebrew, what Jesus' name would have been, Yahshua, which was God the Savior. And, you know, when when Jesus said different times that he came in his Father's name, so the Gentiles knew, we came to know that Jesus was the Messiah, and he also was God incarnate in flesh, because of the teachings of the Bible and because of all that, because we know that in the Gospel of John it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, and you know, I've heard people say, I heard a minister say the other day, that Jesus wasn't the only begotten of the Father, but I disagree with that. He was the original only begotten of the Father. But what he was also, he was the fulfillment of what was said in Genesis when God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let him have dominion. And if you read in Hebrews, you find out that Jesus was the fulfillment of that. You know, there's a scripture that says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels, you crowned him with glory, you set him over all the works of your hands. And it says, but we do not yet see all things under his feet. But what we do see is Jesus. You know. And, you know, we have to realize Jesus was the pattern son. He was the firstborn among many brethren. So the Gentiles came because he, in, like I said, in the Gospel of John, he came unto his own, but his own did what? They received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to come into being, or to become the sons of God, you know. And that word for sons of God there is a word that means like a young child, a baby, basically, you know. But later on, what he talks about is us growing up into him in all things. It says that in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. You know, when we come to the endeavor to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, and we keep and we keep the unity of the faith unto the really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we trusted in his name, and it was God's purpose all along that the Gentiles would come. Even Jesus said this. Now, why did he say that? He said, And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I mean, he's a Jew, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when he's, you know, saying these words, you know. So, you know, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that the Gentiles were really going to come in first. He said that back in Isaiah, and if you went back in Isaiah, you know, I'm sure you could probably find this, where he said, I don't know exactly the quote, so I'm going to give it you a
synopsis.
Yeah, synopsis of it. He said, I was found of them that didn't seek me. And he said, and he goes ahead and he keeps, you know, making that bigger. And really what he's saying there is that it didn't depend on them seeking him. The Jews knew him by the law. We learn to know him by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when he called you, a lot of people think they chose Jesus. They didn't really choose Jesus. He chose them. You know, before the foundation of the world, it was already preordained. And you might think that, you know, that your inheritance that you have in God is something that you made it happen. Well, you didn't really make it happen. He made it happen from the foundation of the world. All you did
is that when he began to draw you, you answered the call of him drawing you, you know. But I like that. That shows you right there that God knew exactly what was going to happen there, you know, when he said, you know, about the Gentiles, that what he said about the Gentiles. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust, you know. And what is that name? There's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved than what? Then we call him Jesus, which is means Savior. But if you went with the Hebrew thing, it would be Yahshua. And even if you go back into the Old Testament, and I'm gonna have to be careful because I'll be preaching a whole sermon here. But if you go back into the Old Testament and you look at who was servants of Moses, Joshua was the one who actually led them over into the promised land, you know, because Moses was disobedient and he didn't get to go in. He got to go up on Mount Nebo and see it, but he didn't get to go in. And that was because God was really telling us that the law could never get you in there, because Moses was a type of the law.
Yeah.
But we also know that later on, when Jesus had his,
transfiguration.
When he went up on the mountain, was transfigured before them. I'm trying to think of the right words to say. But when he went up and was transfigured before them, there appeared unto to him two figures. One was Moses and the other was Elijah. And what is that? That's the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. Well, the law would get you up to the promised land, but it can't get you over into the promised land. It took Elijah to get you over into the promised land. It took the prophetic word of God, you know, functioning in your life and leading you across. And Joshua, Moses got him up to it, and Joshua took him across, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, even the play on words in the English version of the Bible, Joshua, what was his last name according to what they called him? Joshua, son of Nun. It's N-U-N, but Nun. And we would say Nun. And what does it say in the Gospel of John? It says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Those who were not born of flesh, born of blood, or born of will of the flesh, basically, we were born of God. See? So, Jesus basically, and Melchizedek in the Old Testament, he was without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without ending of days. And what Jesus was without father, without mother, without any of those things in the natural, because in his spiritual situation before he came to earth, he was the Father, you know. So he was just God, you know, period. So, you know, it's kind of neat as you see how all these things fit together as you go down through the Bible. But I love that, because even Jesus is saying this here, and he was sent first to the house of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was the gospel of the kingdom for the Jewish people, you know, at that point. You know, I love that it says that in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So he was throwing it out there, you know, letting people know that the Gentiles were going to trust in his name. And we do trust in his name, Jesus, you know. And if you don't acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, you know, you can't enter the kingdom, basically. But that's why it's so necessary, and it says so many times in Scripture, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And every is how many? That's all. I mean, you know. But anyway, that's the only thing I wanted to say about any of that. There's other things, but you guys, I'm going to just go ahead. I say too much sometimes. I feel like I don't say too much.
Good. Shall we go on, Lynn? Then they brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, just like those guys that who hear but don't understand, who see but don't perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And he healed him, in so much that the blind and dumb, I guess that not all of them, I would imagine that he who was blind and dumb both spake and saw. Wow.
What do you think about that there, about being blind and dumb? Don't you feel like that all of us, until we came to a knowledge of the Lord,
were
blind and dumb? We really were. Look at what happened back in Kings, where it talked about Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
When he was telling the king of Israel all of the things that was going to, the Assyrians were going to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The king wanted to know who was betraying them, you know, and they told him, well, there's an old prophet down there in Israel, and he on his bed, he sees everything you're doing, or something like that, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing that.
Yeah.
But basically, that's what he was saying. And they brought all this massive army, and Elijah's servant, you know, which this guy was, he knew God, you know, but he didn't know him in the sense like Elijah did. And you know, he sees all these, and he goes and tells him, Master, don't you care? He says, we're going to perish. We're going to perish, you know. And sometimes we feel that way, you know, like, oh, God, you know, is there, what's going to happen? Is this thing going to get totally out of hand, you know, and the way life is with us sometimes. And yet, what did he say? He prayed and said, I pray that his eyes would be opened.
Yes.
And when his eyes was open, he said, oh, my, there's more with us than there is with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always more with us, no matter what situation we're in. And you know, because that army was totally surrounded with chariots of fire and all this stuff, you know. And, you know, that's a beautiful, really a beautiful thing for us. And that's where we have to realize that, which we've talked about at different times, about the five natural senses and the five spiritual senses, you know. And the five spiritual senses, the highest order of your senses is seeing. Because what does Scripture say when we, does it say when we hear him as he speaks, we'll be like him? No. When we see him as he is, we'll be like him, see? So the highest order is seeing. So when we realize that what he's saying here, and we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what made people in the natural be dumb, you know, what they call dumb, blind and dumb, it was because they couldn't hear. And because they couldn't hear, they couldn't talk, you know, so they were considered dumb, you know. And they couldn't be taught, you know. And in modern day, we have sign language and different things where people who can't hear in the natural can be still be taught things, you know, because they can be teaching sign language. But back then, I don't think they had anything like that, you know. And people who were blind had to go out and beg, and so did people who were dumb too. You know? But when you think about some of these things, you know, in the natural and apply them spiritually, you know, we know that you have to be able to hear, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why when we pray, we should always pray that God give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us on a daily basis, and give us eyes to see what he's doing. And, you know.
I see that the key word there is he gives us.
And he's the one.
We aren't capable.
No.
Right. You know, like, I feel sorry for this poor guy possessed of the devil.
Right.
He's not capable of unpossessing him of the devil. God gives us. He opens our eyes. Mm-hmm. He opens our ears.
Yeah.
Give.
Yeah.
And then in verse 23, there's a question in there for me.
Uh-huh.
And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Don't you think it would be better if they said, is this not the son of Joseph? Because that's the way they knew him. But were they saying, this is
they were already realizing they were seeing something that they had never seen before. They were seeing some people miraculously changed, you know, just from coming into contact with Jesus, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And yeah, so so that I think the natural mind back then would have been saying what you said. Well, we know this guy. He was Joseph's son and Mary, you know. Mm-hmm. But they were seeing something that was spiritually talking to them, mm-hmm. in the sense that they said, "Oh my goodness, isn't this guy really the son of David, the promised son that David, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the Messiah would come from the house of David, you know, that kind of thing." Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
They may well have been the first group.
Yeah.
Who said such a thing?
Yeah. But even the Pharisees, now look at what they do. This is your religious folks right there.
Mm-hmm.
See, all of a sudden they're going to pop up. And anybody that doesn't line up with their little doctrine, mm-hmm. you know, right away, they're the devil. They're this, they're that, you know, that kind of thing.
Gosh, isn't that almost like today?
And it's the same. It's the same.
They speak in tongues. That's of the devil.
Right.
Yeah. They don't? Well, they're not saved.
Well, and I said something, I think I told you guys, we had a brother come through here, and we had a Baptist person get up and share a testimony, and this brother got up, and when he was speaking, I mean, he'd come here, and you know, I'd let him speak, and he was Pentecostal, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, what it turned out to. And right away, he started kind of downing that guy was a Baptist, you know. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I was about half ready to tell him, you need to sit down, you know. I didn't, but when he got done, I think the Holy Spirit was dealing with him, because he said, maybe I shouldn't have said what I said. And I don't usually get real harsh with people, but I said, well, maybe you shouldn't have. And then I told him, I said, let me tell you something. And I told him about years ago when we had a play down at the other church, and the Baptist people came up, Chuck and them, you know, mm-hmm. Chuck's brother, that Highland Baptist, you know, they came up and did a play with us. And, you know, I told him, I said, Pentecostal people have had a tendency that instead of loving Baptist people and instead of embracing them, they acted like they were superior to them, and they, you know, they kind of talked badly about Baptist people, you know, like, well, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, they do. If they receive Jesus Christ, they do. They might not have the outflowing of speaking in tongues, but that doesn't mean that they don't have other gifts that God's given them, you know. And anyway, so, but I told him, I said, the Pentecostal movement and the kingdom people sometimes have done Baptist people a disservice, you know, and it made them be afraid. But they said to us, when we were sitting there, after they'd got to know us and we were doing that play and we weren't trying to, they said, we thought you guys would be trying to convert us and do this and do that. And we said, no, I'm not going to do that. You guys know the Lord, you know. And you know, but I don't know. You know, so many times religion, I tell you, religion in general, what the world calls religion out there, is kind of ugly sometimes. It really is. And it's kind of exclusive and tries to make it where I'm better than you or something like that. And though he were the Son of God, he came. He said he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And until you have a servant's heart, I don't care who you are, you're not really, you're not moving in the total reality of what God wants you to do, you know, and.
Baptist people have a true servant's heart, mostly.
Yes.
I mean, it's what they're known for.
And people can only walk in what light that they have actually received, you know, God. Like I go yesterday, I went and there was 14 people. I started, I came, became friends and knew these people through Tobias. And it's called a Spirit of Truth Church. And it's not denominational. And there's, yesterday was the most people there, was 14 people, the biggest. They love God.
Mm-hmm.
All different ones got their tradition and that. But they love the Lord, and we pray together, and we worship together.
That's good.
And now and then, God will bring really a word, a truth. I know he has through me, and they've received it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because God has said so, said it. Then I got a group of women, there's probably seven, there's been as many as 11. This is once a month that I meet with. They're from all different churches. The main common denominator is Christ.
Right.
And that's what you share, not the tradition, not belief they were brought up, because as God enlightens them and they receive it, you know.
Well, you know, the true the true attitude that a Christian should have is, I don't care what level you're on in Christ. I don't care what level you're on.
Mm-mm.
They're your brother and your sister.
Yes.
And you should love them. And even if they're into something that is a little bit off, you know, as far as you know, you know, you've been enlightened on it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be beating them up over that. What you need to do is love them. You need to minister to them as God allows you to minister to them. And you know, I happened to go to a meeting one time where this was supposed to be Deeper Truth people, you know. And you know, it was kind of a Bible study type thing, and I went to it. And this one guy come in there, and he was kind of down in the Bible. You know, he said, you know, well, you know, I'm past that. You know, I thought, oh, okay, you're past that. Okay,
oh,
you know, well, we'll see about that. You know, and he was basically saying he was getting ready to go down to in Kentucky somewhere and minister at this church. And he says, yeah, he says, when I go down there, he says, when I see them with all the truths God's given me, he says, they'll never have me back there. I said, let me ask you something, brother. He said, what's that? I said, don't you think it would be better to go down and minister to people on their level and maybe take them just a little bit higher, and then get invited back, and then the next time maybe you could take them just a little bit higher? I said, you know, if the things of the natural do declare the things of the spirit, and I know they do because God showed me it so many times.
Yes.
I get shocked sometimes how much he shows it to me. But if the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit, if I came into a fifth grade class and said, okay guys, we're gonna learn mathematics today. And I said, I'm gonna teach you mathematics. And they said, oh well, yeah, that's really good. We know mathematics, you know. Yeah, but I'm gonna teach you mathematics. Now instead of teaching you multiplications and division and addition and, you know, stuff like that, percents and all that kind of stuff, I'm gonna hit you with calculus today. You know what those people are gonna know when you walk away? Absolutely nothing. Because you haven't built a foundation and built up to what calculus is. Now I can tell you, I'm not no math whiz, but if somebody started talking to me about calculus, they lost me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lost when they get to that. Now do I understand geometry and trigonometry and some of that stuff? Yeah, I do, because I worked with that in the machine shop. But if they start talking to me about calculus, forget it. You know, I don't know nothing about calculus. Not that I can't learn it or couldn't learn it, But there's a whole lot of steps to get you up to that before I could ever understand calculus. And that's the way it is with people who have deeper truths. You go into a place that's of lesser understanding, and that's not making them any less than you. Because I tell you what, I loved my son when he was 5, and when he knew his ABCs and could count to 100 or whatever it was back then, I was proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I knew that was just the beginning. And I wasn't going to downplay that in any way. If anything, I was going to encourage that and tell him, boy, you're doing really good. You're going to be a math whiz when you get older, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. And you know what? But so many people have a tendency that they beat people up in the religion. And it's just like these guys. You know, these Pharisees, they thought they had all the answers. They didn't have the answers. The answer was standing right in front of them. Which was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And what did they do? Because they didn't understand what he was saying, or didn't want to understand it, because they knew they had all the answers, supposedly. They were calling him a devil and a Beelzebub and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, but you can tell where somebody's out by the compassion that they show on people, no matter what level they're on. And if you'll fellowship on them, on their level, as much as you can. I mean, you can't, you know, if they start hitting you with something you totally disagree with, it's better to just kind of leave it alone, unless God really opens the door for you to share with them about that particular thing. But, you know, so many Christians, they blow it. And once you offend somebody, you can't minister to them after that, you know. It's a gradual unfolding of the things of God, and you know.
And we should be open to hear and see God, no matter through whom or how He speaks, because many times, if you're not, they may not have as much truth, but God will speak something to you through them.
Right.
Yeah, you experience that and say, "Oh, I didn't.
That's right.
You're amazed that they saw that.
Right.
Or seeing, you know, God it.
Right.
You know.
And see, no, you can't judge other people where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
God's the only one that knows where they're at, and we're not supposed to judge them now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to judge them eventually, because the Scripture says that the saints will judge the world. But we're going to judge them with the same forgiveness, the same mercy, the same love that Jesus did.
Yes.
And the only time that Jesus ever got upset with people was when they thought they knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what did he do when he went into the temple area that time and saw the money changers? You don't think there's money changers out there right now? Sitting in a temple area, supposedly? If you send me a $500 offering, God will bless you. He'll do this. He'll do that. You know, and the guys, and a lot of those guys got millions of dollars, millions of dollars. They'll tell you that, and then they'll turn around and take somebody's Social Security check. You know,
mm-hmm.
if they sign it and endorse it and give it to them, they'll take it and not blink an eye doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know. It's not hard to figure out where somebody's at, you know. If they're not, if to be perfectly honest with you, in a lot of these churches where some of these big time ministers go, are ones that think they're big time ministers anyway. They're big time in the eyes of the world, but not. There is no big ministers in God. You're all
no.
There's only one big minister in God, and that's Him, you know. But you know. If a lot of these guys were really in the right position, they'd be coming into some of these churches and giving them money.
Yes.
And giving them a big offering or helping them build something or do something that they needed to do to enhance their ministry.
I look at these when you've even read about celebrities with such love and compassion that are donating to food pantries, to people. And like this... what's, every concert she has in that city, she does all these donations.
Yeah, that's, well, Taylor Swift is doing that, yeah, Taylor Swift is doing that.
Everywhere she, concert she has, she gives.
Yeah.
Gives.
Well, and that's, and the thing about it is that a lot of the ministries that are going into that same city, all they're doing is take. Be honest with you.
Not even giving the love of God.
Well, I can tell you this, God doesn't do things the way that you, that a lot of times the way that we think he'll do it, even if he lays something on your heart. But one time years ago, I felt like that if I was in, that if I was going to be in the ministry, that I didn't want to have people have to give me money, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. It's I wanted to present the gospel free. Mm-hmm. You know, freely you've received, freely give, you know, that kind of thing. And I've even had some people tell me years ago, the poems a guy would give me, they'd say, do you have them poems copyrighted? And I'd say, no. And they'd say, well, you need to get them copyrighted. I said, well, freely God gave them to me. I want to freely give them to other people, you know. Well, somebody might misuse them. Well, if they do that, if they take them and misuse them, guess what? Guess who they have to answer to?
Mm-hmm.
God, not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And, you know, I actually went in with my brother years ago with the idea that if we'd have got the business going like I wanted to get it going, that if God opened up more doors for me to minister to people, that I could travel or do whatever God wanted me to do freely and not, you know, and if they gave me an offering, give it back to them. Well, you know, I ministered in this church for many, many years, not getting any money, you know, and I do get money now, but I never asked for it. I never told anybody I wanted it, you know, and you know, I feel like if God gives you something, well, the only time I ever got any money here was one time when Brother Eddie asked me to speak and I spoke. And then afterwards he came up and he wanted to give me some money. And I told him, I said, Brother Eddie, I said, you don't have to give me no money for speaking. And he said, no, I want to give you some money for speaking. I said, it's not necessary, Brother. You don't have to do that. And he said, no. He says, labor is worthy of his hire. He says, I want to give you some money. I said, well, okay. I said, I'll take it. I said, but I don't particularly, you know, have to have it or anything. I got home and I was talking to my mother, and my mother said, son, she says, God might get you out into ministry full time where you have to depend on people giving you stuff. She says, if God opens the door to give you something, then you should take it. And I said, okay, mother. Later on, her car was messing up. And I went to my brother and I said, you know, I said, mother's car's dying when you make a left-hand turn. For some reason, it's dying. We took it, they had a check, try to get it fixed. They couldn't figure out what was making it do that. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I'm concerned about, you know, her. I did remind him of this, because when he was a little boy, he used to always say, well, mother, when I grew up, I'm going to buy you a Cadillac. And I told him, I said, you know, I remember some little boy telling his mother when he grew up, he had that business going pretty good. He was making a lot of money. I remember the little boy telling his mother, when I grew up, I'm going to buy you a Cadillac. He got this funny look on his face. And he was going to buy his daughter a Cavalier, Chevrolet Cavalier. And he decided to buy mother a car too, Cavalier, you know. And I told him, I said, I'll chip in on that if you want, you know. And he, no, he says, I'm going to do it myself. I said, you sure? He said, yeah. I said, okay. She called me and she called him Dub. She said, that Dub, his name's Wiley Lloyd, and we called him W. Allen. She said, that Dub, he called me and he wants to buy me a car. I can't let him do that. I said, well, let me tell you something. Let me remind you what somebody told me once.
You just gave her a word.
I gave her word back. I said, if God gives you something, I said, you know what you do? You say, thank you, Lord, because he's giving it to you. And I said, I said, don't you need a car? She says, well, yeah. I said, but I said, hey, I said, don't look at the car as coming from him. Look at the car as coming from the Lord. And I said, you're going to tell God, I need a car, but when you give it to me, I'm not going to take it. I said, you know, and basically she said, okay. She said, okay. But, you know, the thing about it is that so many, Lord showed me these things so many different ways over the years. And I've had the Lord bless me outside of this place from other people and stuff where I never asked for anything. And they gave it to me, you know, and stuff. So it's kind of one of those situations that God's in control. He knows what you need. He'll take care of your needs, you know. But I would so love to see these people that's on television and all that, instead of saying, well, if we don't get some things, some money coming in, we're going to have to close down the broadcast. Or, you know what? I told my mother, I said, you know, if God sends me out to speak and he doesn't supply my needs, then I'll go home. I said, I'll go home. I said, well, Lord, you promised to supply my needs. And I said, if he doesn't supply them, then I would go home and quit doing it. And you know, it's been, but these places that are called faith ministries, they're not very much faith when they get on there and cry and carry on about and start putting pressure on people. God told me that 10 people are going to give $5,000 or, you know, that kind of stuff. That stuff is a bunch of bull.
It's sad.
It is sad. Mm-hmm. You know.
I see my brother-in-law. He came to see my mom at her car, and he bought her a car, my younger sister's husband. Yeah. And we used to come down here to Elmwood, and this elderly man and woman, and my aunt, there was a lot of us who took up that whole second row there in Elmwood,
yeah.
And you're facing the pulpit on the right side. And he just loved to buy, the box was only about four when we started coming down here.
Mm-hmm.
And he just talked to him, and the box talked to him, and he said, it's a shame that I love him more than my grandkids, because I never see them, but I see him every Sunday, you know, talking about Tobias. He came by, I didn't have a car. He said, I got some place I want you to go with me. He took me up to the courthouse then and to the title court. Had bought me a car. Mm-hmm. Bought it, and he signed over, paid the taxes, obviously, sure did.
And you know what, if you'd have said, No, I can't take that car because it's coming from you. It wasn't coming from him, it was coming from God. God knew you needed a car, and he gave you a car.
He loved us. I can see him now.
Yeah.
Precious man. He loved the Lord, and he loved the song. Every time the anyone sang, he would cry, The Lighthouse. He said that's the song that God spoke to him. He was at a service years back when he was young. I thank God for the light. And he would just cry. We sang.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, with Ray Prenzing, you know, all of his papers were free. Mm-hmm. You know, if you felt like giving an offering, you gave an offering. Preston Eby was the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the legitimate ministries are like that. They're not trying to beat you out of any money. You know, they're not trying to.
Bill Britton.
Yeah, Bill Britton, same way.
There's Elvin Roach.
Yeah.
There's different, yeah.
I love the story Bill Britton told about his writings, the stuff he started sending out. He said, I remember that story really well. He said that he felt like the Lord wanted him to start putting out, you know, those tracts in his papers and things. And he said, and I thought, well, Lord, how am I going to do this? And the Lord said, you just do it and I'll supply, you know, basically.
Yeah, too.
And then he said that he got a phone call from this person. And this person told him, he says, "Are you Bill Britton?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "God's been telling me," he said, "I'm going out of business. I have a printing business." And he says, "And I'm going out of business, and God has been telling me to give this stuff to Bill Britton." And he says, "I've been trying to find you, you know." So God had already started working on it before he told Bill to even, that was the impression that I got from what he said.
Yes.
He was, and God will supply.
Prepare the way.
He will make the way. If he wants you to do something, if you're out there and you can't make it and it's not working, then it's time to say, "Okay, God, if this thing's really of you, this thing has to work." Now, I could apply that to out there. If we weren't on the internet, I'd have probably been gone a long time ago. You know, if we weren't on the internet and I didn't feel like that the ministry we're doing here is reaching out, and that all you guys have grown and grown and grown over the years, you know, I mean, it isn't because of me, but it's because of God. You know what I mean? And you know, every once in a while I get a little bit discouraged and I think, well, you know, I need to maybe think about hanging it up or quitting, you know. And then I feel like the Lord will let me know, no, and I'm not ready for you to do that yet, you know. And you know, but I don't know, you know. It's one of those things where you gotta do what you feel like the Lord wants you to do, you know.
That's right.
You know, when you guys were all talking about those who want something from you I think the Lord just keeps telling me that nothing of the soul will get you into the kingdom of God.
Right.
And what's of the soul? It's your intellect. So if you just have an intellectual great knowledge of the Bible, great knowledge of the Word, great knowledge of who God is, you know, but it stays in your soul, your soulish realm. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without the Spirit, it's impossible to have faith. Because, you know, the intellect can't get you there. The will can't get you there.
No.
The emotions can't get you there.
Right.
They can't be trusted. The only thing that, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But until the soul is in subjection to the Spirit of God,
that's true.
You're not going to have that same, that correct knowledge of don't quench a little fire, don't bruise, you know, a broken reed. You know all of that you've been talking about how a true child of God will act, all comes from the Spirit of God. And it comes from faith and knowing who we are and knowing who God is and who He wants to be in us.
God has, I would say God has a rule of law that if you give, you receive. And I can remember seeing this businessman that ran his, not a Christian, but ran his business by the rule and law of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he prospered because of his giving and how he treated his workers and all that.
Right.
And it wasn't a man of God, wasn't saying he was serving God, but that which he was setting forth, God blessed him because what you give comes back to you, what you receive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even that scripture, back in Isaiah, where he talks about Cyrus, you know, he says, he told Cyrus, he mentioned Cyrus about 100 years before Cyrus was even born in Isaiah. And he called him Cyrus, called him by name.
Yes.
And he said, you're my servant, I'm going to open all these things up. And, you know, allow it to happen and all this kind of stuff. And then he goes ahead in that whole chapter and he talks about that God's in control of everything and, you know, all this kind of stuff. The sovereignty of God. But he says, even though you haven't known me, see?
Mm-hmm.
And just like when Elijah went down to Zarephath to the woman that had the little bit of meal and the little bit of oil, and he asked her what she was doing, and she said, well, I'm going to make a little cake, and me and my son are going to eat, and we're going to die. You know, that's what she said. And he said, woman, he says, make me a little cake first. And he says, and he basically told her, thus saith the Lord, the meal barrel won't run out, or the oil won't run dry, you know. And
yeah.
God had told Isaiah before he went down there, he said, Zarephath means like a place of refinement,
mm-hmm.
a refiner fire type situation. And God had told Isaiah Elijah. He told Elijah before he went down there, he says, to go down to Zarephath, where he says, for I've spoken to a woman down there to sustain you, and send him down there. And she didn't say, when he said something to her about that, she said, God told me that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know God had told her that. He had spoken that into her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how mothers are. You ain't going to turn around. If you got a little bit of food and your baby's hungry, your son's hungry, and you're hungry, you're not going to turn around and give it to somebody else. I mean, that's a natural instinct of a mother. You're going to feed your kid. You're going
to have to believe him to do it.
Well, the Spirit of God was speaking inside of her, see? And that's the thing, and she was obedient. And because of that, and you know, when you read that in the King James, it says a cruse of oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cruse.
It's a little tiny.
It's a saucer.
Yes.
It was a saucer. A little bit of oil, just a saucer. But I think every day, that saucer refilled itself every day, you know, and miraculously. And, you know, but that's the way God is. Little's much. I love that song, When God's In It.
Yes.
Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, you can win it if you'll go in his name. And that, and that's true, man. That is so true.
Well, fellas, I think we have to
we're,
stop.
We're running over.
As much as we don't want to.
I know,
Mike, would you close us out with a word of prayer?
Father, thank you for this day.
Yes,
Father, thank you for the discussion today.
Thank you.
And Father, just bless the service as we walk in. And we give you all the prayer, all the praise. Amen.
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 Amen.